The scripture reading for this morning is from 2 Chronicles chapter 21. Second Chronicles 21. Now Jehoshaphat slept with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David. And Jehoram, his son, reigned in his stead. And he had brethren, the sons of Jehoshaphat, Azariah and Jehiel and Zechariah and Azariah and Michael and Shephatiah. All these were the sons of Jehoshaphat, king of Israel. And their father gave them great gifts of silver and of gold and of precious things with fenced cities in Judah. But the kingdom gave he to Jehoram because he was the firstborn. Now when Jehoram was risen up to the kingdom of his father, he strengthened himself and slew all his brethren with a sword, and diverse also of the princes of Israel. Jehoram was 32 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 8 years in Jerusalem. And he walked in the way of the kings of Israel, like as did the house of Ahab, for he had the daughter of Ahab to wife, and he wrought that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord. Howbeit, the Lord would not destroy the house of David because of the covenant that he had made with David, and as he promised to give a light to him and to his sons forever. In his days, the Edomites revolted from under the dominion of Judah and made themselves a king. Then Jehoram went forth with his princes and all his chariots with him, and he rose up by night and smote the Edomites, which compassed him in, and the captains of the chariots. So the Edomites revolted from under the hand of Judah unto this day. The same time also did Libnah revolt from under his hand, because he had forsaken the Lord God of his fathers. Moreover, he made high places in the mountains of Judah and caused the inhabitants of Jerusalem to commit fornication and to compel Judah thereto. And there came a writing to him from Elijah the prophet, saying, Thus saith the Lord God of David thy father, because thou hast not walked in the ways of Jehoshaphat thy father, nor in the ways of Asa, king of Judah, but has walked in the way of the kings of Israel, and made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to go a-whoring, like to the whoredoms of the house of Ahab, and also hast slain thy brethren of thy father's house, which were better than thyself. Behold, with a great plague will the Lord smite thy people, and thy children, and thy wives, and all thy goods. And thou shalt have great sickness by disease of thy bowels, until thy bowels fall out by reason of the sickness day by day. Moreover, the Lord stirred up against Jehoram the spirit of the Philistines and of the Arabians that were near the Ethiopians. And they came up to Judah and break into it, and carry away all the substance that was found in the king's house, and his sons also, and his wives, so that there was never a son left him, save Jehoahaz, the youngest of his sons. And after all this, the Lord smote him in his bowels with an incurable disease. And it came to pass that in process of time, after the end of 2 years, his bowels fell out by reason of his sickness, so he died of sore disease. and his people made no burning for him, like the burning of his fathers. 32 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 8 years, and departed without being desired. Howbeit they buried him in the city of David, but not in the sepulchres of the kings. Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
The text of the sermon this morning is 2 Chronicles 21, verse 12a. These words, "And there came a writing to him from Elijah the prophet." That's the text of the sermon. Congregation. Nowadays, in the Netherlands, there is a big lawsuit against a well-known criminal. His lawyer, the famous advocate Moscovici, continually tried to show how contradictory the declarations of the witnesses are. But some weeks ago, there appeared to be a letter that is incriminating to that criminal. In that letter, the victim, a real estate handler, declares how he is blackmailed, even threatened with death. He handed over that letter to his lawyer in case he would be liquidated. After that, he is liquidated indeed. But now, years after he died, the letter has become public. Well, congregation, King Jehoram also got a damaging letter. It was also a letter from a person who was not among the mortal ones anymore. A letter from the great prophet Elijah. But Jehoram, was he also a criminal? Yes, he was. That man was the most evil king of Israel. The most evil king Judah ever had. He was even a murderer. So, the theme of this sermon is an incriminating letter. And the sermon is divided in 3 points: the outside, the contents, and the meaning of this letter. An incriminating letter, that is the theme. The outside, the contents, and the meaning of this letter. First, we look at the outside of the letter. When we receive a letter, we first read on the envelope the name of the person to whom the letter is addressed and the name of the sender. Here, the addressed one is King Jehoram, king of the 2 tribes of Judah. He is the addressed one. In our minds, young people, we see him sitting on his throne in Jerusalem, and he looks very embittered. And we can understand that all things are going against him. During the reign of his father, King Jehoshaphat, in respect of politics, all things appeared to be going better. The neighbor states, Edom and Libna, were annexed during his reign. So the kingdom was growing. In short, under Jehoshaphat, Judah became prosperous. But now the kingdom is passing its prime. The territory is increasing more and more. Edomites revolted under the dominion of Judah and made themselves a king. And Libna too regained her independency. Oh yes, Jehoram has tried to stop that development. But even a military expedition, a battle was not availing. So he returned to his palace as a very disappointed man. And the cause The cause of all this misfortune is very clear. Verse 10 says, because he had forsaken the Lord God of his fathers. Yes, Jehoram, many sorrows shall be the wicked, according to Psalm 32. But mark, congregation, that we are not allowed to return this saying. We are not allowed to say, he who has many sorrows appears to be a wicked person. No, for suffering can also be a proof of God in your life. Many sorrow indeed. First, Edom, then Libna, revolts from under his hands. A little kingdom is wrested. In that, the wrath of the Lord appears. God is punishing him. But Jehoram didn't see that. Doesn't want to see that. He got angry. How understandable it is, for none of us likes to lose a part of our territory. Who, for instance, is not disappointed when his company is declining? Well, young people, one day this embittered king receives a letter. Jehoram is sitting on his throne. A lackey is bending deep. Here you are, your majesty. Here is a letter for you. Of course, the king often was receiving many letters, mostly flattering letters. But this time, it is anything but a flattering letter. It is an incriminating, an accusing letter. All the evil deeds, all the criminal past of Jehoram is named in it, including the judgment of the holy God. This letter also contains a heavy punishment on account of his wicked behavior. Boys and girls, young people, you all like to receive a letter, isn't it? Often when you return from school, you are asking, Mom, did the postman bring a letter for me? And you are glad when she answered, yes, indeed. But what is the first thing you are doing then? Well, you are looking at the name of the sender. So Jehoram does. He looks at the envelope, sender, the prophet Elijah. He's very astonished. We may say he is very shocked. But why is this king so amazed? It often happens that a king received a letter from a prophet. But Elijah had already left the earth. He departed from the earth. He departed to heaven with a chariot under fire and horses as fire. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. We read in 2 Kings 2. So Elijah is not among the mortals for a long time. Since that departure, no one has heard a single word from him. Therefore, Jehoram and his father-in-law, King Ahab, were very relieved. Now Elijah couldn't give them any trouble. That man, with his warnings against their practices. Now we are free to do what we want, they were thinking. But look, now suddenly there appears a letter from the same Elijah. A letter out of heaven, one would say. It is a letter in which he accused Jehoram of many crimes and sins and announced a terrible ending of his life. It seems as if the prophet has left his heavenly rest and has come down to the earth and is speaking to him. Jehoram is very shocked. Suppose it will happen to you. or to me. Maybe you have thought once, should our died beloved ones be able to see what happens here and now? For instance, when you were doing something evil recently, you were thinking, would my God-fearing father or mother in heaven be able to see these wicked deeds of mine? Oh, only the salt of it. Suppose your father, who sleeps in Christ, could talk you about that. Suppose you would receive a letter from him, wouldn't you become trembling and fearing? Congregation, the eyes of the King Jehoram are fixed on the envelope, on that mysterious letter that is handed to him. Isn't it strange, horrible to Jehoram to receive a letter from a man who has left the earth 8 years before the beginning of his reign? It looks as if the prophet was present in the palace during all the years that he was ruling Judah. That's impossible, modern interpreters are saying. There has to be a mistake in writing this text. The letter S is left out of the name of the sender. In the past, you know, the monks have transcribed the holy manuscripts of the Bible. With the printing, they omitted by mistake the letter S. It must be a letter from the contemporary of Jehoram, the prophet Elisha, so these interpreters are saying. But congregation, you will agree that such a solution is not acceptable. It enfeebles the gravity of this godly deed. A letter from a person who is on the other side of the river of death, that makes the impact stronger. So in my opinion, there is a better solution. Elijah wrote this letter before he ascended to heaven. He overlooked the life of Jehoram with a prophetical view. Boys and girls in church, you know what a telescope is, isn't it? With that instrument, you are able to see in a very great distance. So we can say, a prophet like Elijah is able to see with a spiritual telescope. He's able to see in the future. He's able to see the events and behavior of people that had still to take place. For instance, we read that the prophet Jeremiah foresaw the destruction of the kingdom of Babel. And the prophet Isaiah foresaw the same with regard to the king Cyrus long before he became a ruler. So does Elijah here do. He was a great prophet. He was a seer. The Holy Spirit showed him how Jehoram would behave himself in the future. At that moment, the Lord ordered him to write an epistle to Jehoram, including the announcement of the punishment. Thereafter, he gave the epistle in deposit at a reliable person. For instance, Elisha, his successor, just like the victim we mentioned, who gave his letter in deposit at his advocate. When the right moment was there, that person had to send the letter to the godless king here. But congregation, what is the message Elijah wrote in that epistle? That is the second point of this sermon, the contents of this letter. Young people, it is a great difference if you get a love letter or a threatening letter. This is a very serious letter. It contains sharp accusations. Let's see. The first accusation is, Jehoram, thou hast walked in the ways of Jehoshaphat thy father, nor in the ways of Asa thy grandfather. You haven't gone in the footmark of your pious forefather, your faithful dad and granddad. On the contrary, you have walked in the line of the godless kings of the 10 tribes kingdom Israel. Here we see, God's grace is not a matter of heritage. Devotional parents haven't automatically faithful children. Oh yes, I agree, it is a blessing if you have a converted father and mother. The young plant of faith grows the best in a warm spiritual climate. As a child of faithful parents, you are a privileged one, I must say. By virtue of the covenant of grace, you are growing up near to God and His Word. Mark that the Lord reproached here Jehoram that he left the God of his forefathers. Left, so he was near. We are allowed to say there were good conditions to become a pious king. I suppose so. On the birthday celebrations, Jehoram heard his father and forefather, his grandfather, talking about living with God. That's normal, isn't it? If we only talk about one thing or another during family meetings, aren't we very worldly? At any case, it is to the honor of God if we talk about the experience of faith. When we talk about His great works, His great deeds. Nevertheless, Jehoram went his own way. The next accusation is, you, Jehoram, you have seduced other people. Thou hast made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to go a whoring. The Holy Scriptures say, do we have to think of spiritual whorings in serving the idols? Yes, indeed. King Joram seduced the multitude of his people to participate in idolatry. He even built altars for the idol of Baal. Maybe we have to take the term whoring literally, because the cult of Baal was accompanied usually by sexual indulgences. That makes it still worse. Jehoram adored the idols and dragged his subjects along with him. And the lesson is, congregation, our sin mostly has not only results for ourselves, but by our wrong example, we are influencing so often our own husband, wife, children, friends, or colleagues, or our pupils. The reverse is also true. If you fear the Lord, then you may be the salt of the earth, the light of the world, a blessing for your neighborhood by God's grace. But there is still a third accusation in this letter. Jehoram, you are a serious killer. And indeed, when Jehoram became ruler of whole Judah, his first deed was a terrible deed. He commanded young people, his soldiers, to kill all his brothers because he was fearful that they would become competitors of his throne. That was the reason. that he eliminated them, his own brothers. Above that, in that way he could enrich himself, for his brothers had many possessions. They received much gold and silver and other treasures from Father Jehoshaphat, and also some cities in Judah. However, Jehoram received the most, the total kingship of Judah. But grasping he wanted all. That was also a reason to kill his own brothers. But above that, he was glad that his brothers couldn't remind him of the piety of his father anymore. In any case, the behavior of his brothers was better, the scripture says. Their behavior was a continual appeal on his conscience to live with God. Congregation, from the contents of this letter, it is clear Jehoram is a wicked man, a hard criminal, an awful fellow, a very godless person. But how has he become like this, we ask? And why did he continue on that disastrous way? The answer has to be a bad marriage. But you have to understand this right. That doesn't mean that he is in variance with his wife, that they had big quarrels. Oh no, they love each other. It was an harmonious marriage. But more is the pity, it was harmonious in the evil. Jehoram's wife was the daughter of King Ahab. And in her behavior, she looks like her mother Jezebel. Because of that relationship, Jehoram often met his parents-in-law. And so he came under the influence of his family, of this family. Slowly, but certain, he got sucked away from the religious setting in which he has grown up. What a narrow-minded, old-fashioned upbringing you got. What a gloomy life. So I hear Jezebel saying to Jehoram, "Oh, our daughter received a free upbringing. Don't worry, be happy." Indeed, that free moral is easy to go with. Don't you recognize that? Jehoram did go with it. The Bible lays stress on that fact, for it is the cause of his moral slide down. The relationship with his family-in-law, the marriage with Ahab's daughter. Verse 6. There we read, "And he walked in the way of the kings of Israel, like as did the house of Ahab, for he had the daughter of Ahab to wife." Mark that, young people among us. Here it appears to be very important what is the attitude of life of your friends, especially of the person with whom you will marry. That has such an impact on your further life. And therefore, you have to ask your friend at the beginning of your relation of love, "Do you want to love and serve the Lord with me?" You have to ask each other in good time, "Do you want to live with the Lord?" Oh yes, I know sometimes someone has married an unbeliever. And oh wonder that man or wife begins to seek the Lord. But that is an exception to the rule. There is, young people, a saying, a sharp saying, "He that marries with an unbeliever gets the evil one as father-in-law." I think that saying is a little bit too strong, but you can learn from it how risky it is to marry someone who doesn't believe. It appears in the life of Joram. Often it leads to a life without God and His Word. You must be very strong to serve the Lord heartily when your wife or husband is indifferent to that. Above that, could you be really happy if you couldn't share the wondrous grace of God together? Don't misjudge yourself, young people. Oh, that lovely face, that nice character is so attractive, you are thinking. But you need a strong spiritual foundation of your marriage, the foundation of the Word of God, the foundation in Christ, worked by the Holy Spirit. Take care of your eternal welfare. Congregations, the accusations against Joram are very heavy. We must say, indeed, an incriminating letter. And the godly sentence is included. The sentence of the heavenly judge is as follows. The people of Judah will receive great distress, and also your wives and children. Concerning yourself, you shall have an incurable disease, a great disease of your bowels, until your bowels fall out. You will die under severe suffering and pains. O congregation, what a shocking letter. The last 2 years of Joram's life will be terrible. You will say this morning, Pastor, this is so sinister. Is that the gospel? Is such a message joyful tidings? Yes, it is. God's love appears in sending this letter. It is a short of last warning, a last call to conversion. O Joram, come to repentance. Seek the Lord before it is too late. The Lord, you have to seek the Lord. He who is justifying the ungodly. So we arrive at our third point, the meaning of the letter. Congregation, why did Joram receive a letter from Elijah? Why not a letter from a contemporary? Well, the purpose is to shock the king, to make a deep impression on the conscience of this godly king. The warning voices of contemporaries didn't avail. When Joram closed his heart for the voices of the mortals, he had to be warned by a voice from the other side of the river of death. This is a voice from heaven. What a shocking experience to receive such a letter. Yes, congregation, if we persist in neglecting the sermons at Sunday, the Lord could send us a shocking happening or something awful, something special to awake us from the death of sins, so that we will wake up from our indifference. Maybe someone of you is saying, oh yes, if I should get such a letter, I would have repentance immediately. I should bow my knees and beg the Lord for His grace. I should beseech, O Lord, undertake for me, be my goal, my bail. Would you do indeed that in such a case? I ask you, don't you hear the voice of dead people nowadays? Voices we have listened to, I mean, The intense begging and warning of your beloved family members that are asleep in Christ. In the critical moments of life, you are still hearing their voices, isn't it? Then you are hearing the voice of your father. You are seeing the tears of your mother. Isn't it an alarm when you are walking in evil ways? The voices of your converted mother, your pious father, who were in their earthly lives an epistle of the Lord, readable letters. One moment you have it in your hands, a clearly readable writing, an accusation. But what do you do then? Do you turn a deaf ear to that? Do you take it as read? Do you resist? Or do you surrender? Do you have repentance indeed? One of you is saying, oh yes, if I got such a letter like yours, I would undoubtedly change my life. If I should receive such a special letter, then conversion will begin in my life. Are you sure? For you, God's already a special letter. The Holy Bible is a letter from heaven, inspired by the Holy Spirit, an epistle from the Holy God, a letter addressed to every one of us personally. Thus, you have to read this letter. In that letter, your sins are mentioned. Via this letter, the Lord calls you to repentance, invites you to the salvation in Jesus Christ, His Son, invites you to trust in Him, the Savior. Fortunately, it is not only an incriminating letter, but also, young people, a letter of love. It contains also a declaration of love. God's love towards sinners. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. It is a letter written long before we were born. The writers of the 66 books of the Bible have died very long ago. But if you are reading this letter by the light of the Holy Spirit, you will be amazed and surprised by its contents. You will say, how is it possible that is exactly written how I am, a child of Adam? My sinful nature is written in it. That letter describes all the evil I did. My whole life is pictured in it. And convinced of sin, I must agree the judgment of God. That judgment is right. I earn the everlasting punishment. So I cry, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You receive that mercy then, when you are crying so? Surely. We read of that publican, Luke 18, this man went down to his house justified. Not theorem. Because he hardened himself. Perhaps he has destroyed the letter from Elijah. What a foolish man is this king. Oh, let us never forget, congregation, that sin can't go unpunished. For the Lord is so holy that He can't overlook one single sin. If we persevere in denying the calls of the Word of God, punishment is bound to come. Even everlasting destruction. The announced judgment is carried out to Jehoram. Enemies conquer Judah, penetrate in the palace, and take in possession all the treasures of this king. They also kidnap his wives and children, except the youngest prince, Jehoahaz. And concerning Joram himself, we must say, the end of his life is terrible, horrible. Intestinal cancer procured him to painfully years. He is dying young, only 40 years old. He didn't receive a kingly funeral. There's no burning of incense to his honor. Nobody is sorrowful when he dies. He departed without being desired. He departed, we must say, to the place of everlasting pain. But one son of him was saved. What's the reason? Well, otherwise, the whole house of David would be destroyed. It was because of the covenant the Lord made with David, just as we read in Psalm 89. In his mercy, the Lord remembers that covenant. He remains loyal to what he had promised. He does so on account of the great son of David, who had to be born in the lineage of David, the son of David, which would be the savior of an innumerable crowd of sinners. Certainly, in spiritual view, it was a dark time in the days of Jehoram. But the Lord keeps the light on, as he had promised. In our days, we hear many church people complaining, oh, what a dark time it is. And we don't dare to deny that. But don't forget, the lamp of the Word of God is still burning. Many things are wrong in the Reformed Church of America, and also in the Protestant Church in Holland. But still, there is a burning lamp. It is the lamp of the gospel of free grace, the gospel of Jesus Christ the Lord. Oh, poor and needy sinner, rely on that. Embrace the King, King Jesus, as your Savior. Oh, I pray you this morning, trust in the Lord. Him we are proclaiming, the strong Christ, the light of the world. Congregation, most earthly kings are better than Jehoram, but none of them is perfect. All the kings of Judah were making faults, and they all had a sinful heart. Some of the kings of Judah had messianic traits. They looked a little bit like Jesus the King. But none of them was perfect. The real messianic king is necessary. The perfect king, Jesus Christ the Lord. This part of the Holy Scriptures fixed us at the most worst king. He is not exactly a type of Jesus Christ. On the contrary, he is a type of the evil one. But in opposite to Jehoram, we proclaim you this morning the best of all kings. Fortunately, Jesus is so unlike king as Jehoram is. Jehoram was jealous, cruel and hard, but Jesus is unselfish, loving and gentle. Jehoram killed his brothers, but Jesus was hanging at the cross to save his brothers from death. The government of Jehoram was corrupt, foolish and hard. Jesus reigns righteously, wisely and softly. The reign of Jehoram endured 8 years. The reign of Jesus is everlasting. His kingdom will never end. Jehoram sat on a beautiful throne. Jesus was hanging at the tree as a king of the cross. Jehoram died of an awful disease, but Jesus carried our illnesses as a man of sorrows. Joram died compelled under the punishment of God. But Jesus bowed voluntarily under God's punishment to deliver his people from the eternal punishment. At the funeral of Joram, nobody was dropping tears. But at the tomb of Jesus, his disciples cried. He was so beloved by his people. Joram did not receive a honorable funeral. Jesus was laid down in a new grave. Joram perished inglorious. After his funeral, he became a forgotten man. But from Jesus, we read of his resurrection and his victory. He rose from the dead. People are still talking about him every day. Also nowadays. His name is praised by millions of people all over the world. Heartily praised by everyone who loves him and needs him as a savior. Also praised by you and me. Congregation, what a contradiction it is. Joram or Jesus? Of which one you would be a subject? That choice isn't difficult, isn't it? Not Joram, not the evil one, but Jesus under his mastery. We are blessed people. We are free. Oh, embrace him, believing in him with a true confidence. You are so blessed if you are learned by the Holy Spirit to give yourself up unto Jesus the Lord. Then you will confess, "Thou art the King of Kings. Grace is poured into thy lips." Not Joram, but Jesus. Only Jesus. Jesus forever. Praise him, the Lord. For blessed be his name from now until all eternity. Amen. Let's pray now and thank the Lord for this service. Merciful Lord, after this sermon, we come unto thee and we thank thee for thy words. Above all, we thank thee for the letter of thy words that we have received. By sending that letter, thou hast shown us that thou art long-suffering and not willing that any of us should perish. Thou hast sworn by thyself that thou hast no pleasure in the death of him that died. Thou hast shown that, especially by sending him who is called the Word, the Word, the Kings of Kings. O Lord, may it be the fruit of this sermon that we all bow before him heartily. Young and old people, for under his government we are saved, we are free, and all his people are praising him day by day, for he is so tender in grace. We pray thee that thou wilt spare us this afternoon and bring us together in the second service. We pray thee, be with the sick. Be with all that people that has to bear a cross, maybe a hidden cross. O Lord, strengthen them, bless them. Bless also the catechism class, bless us all, and let us speak together in the families about thy word proclaimed this morning, and let it bear fruit in our lives. O Lord, hallowed be thy name. We ask thee this all for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.